Part C, directions. You will hear three pieces of recorded material. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answers. You will hear each piece once only. Questions 11 to 13 are based on the following comment on sex prejudices. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 11 to 13.
Sex prejudices are based on and justified by the ideology that biology is destiny. According to this ideology, basic biological and psychological differences exist between the sexes. These differences require each sex to play a separate role in social life. Women are the weaker sex, both physically and emotionally. Thus, they are naturally suited, much more so than men, to the performance of domestic duties. A woman's place, under normal circumstances, is within the protective environment of the home. Nature has determined that women play caretaker roles, such as wife and mother and homemaker. The ideology also holds that women who wish to work outside the household should naturally fill those jobs that are in line with the special capabilities of their sex. It is thus appropriate for women, not men, to be employed as nurses, social workers, and elementary school teachers. These positions are simply an extension of women's domestic role. Informal distinctions between women's work and men's work in the labor force, according to the ideology, are simply a functional reflection of the basic differences between the sexes. Finally, the ideology suggests that nature has worked her will in another significant way. For the human species to survive over time, its members must regularly reproduce. Thus, women must, whether at home or in the labor force, make the most of their physical appearance. So goes the ideology. It is, of course, not true that basic biological and psychological differences between the sexes require each to play sex-defined roles in social life. There is ample evidence that sex roles vary from society to society, and those role differences that do exist are largely learned.
Questions 14 to 17 are based on a radio program about water and health. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 14 to 17.
Water is necessary for life and good health. We often forget this fact when we think about the other building blocks of life, such as vitamins, minerals, and proteins. We can live for many days without eating, but 2 or 3 days without water usually leads to death. The human body may look solid, but most of it is water. Newborn babies are as much as 85% water. Women are about 65% water, and men about 75%. Women usually have less water than men because women, in general, have more fat cells, and fat cells hold less water than other kinds of cells. Water contains many different substances to keep us healthy, It carries hormones, antibodies, and foods through the body, and carries away waste materials. This is why different parts of the body contain different amounts of water. For example, blood is 83% water, muscles are 75% water, the brain is 74%, and bones are 25%. Water is also necessary for cooling the body on hot days, and when we're working hard or exercising. Water carries body heat to the surface of the skin, where the heat is lost through perspiration. Researchers say cold liquids cool us faster than warm liquids, because cold liquids take up more heat inside the body and carry it away faster. They say, however, that cold sweet drinks do not work well because the sugar slows the liquid from getting into the bloodstream. The body loses water every day through perspiration and urine. If we lose too much, we will become sick. A 10% drop in body water can cause the blood system to fall. A 15% to 20% drop usually leads to death. To replace what is lost, health experts say, grown persons should drink about 2 liters of liquids each day, and more in hot weather. They say we also can get some of the water we need in the foods we eat. Most fruits and vegetables are more than 80% water. Meats are 50 to 60% water. Questions 18 to 20 are based on the following TV conversation about the Greek myths. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 18 to 20.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the book program. The first book that we're going to look at is by Roger Palin, and his new book is called The Greek Gods, A Battle for Eternity. And the interesting thing about this book is that it's written in the form of a thriller. Roger, why a thriller?
Well, what you've got to remember is that the Greek gods, unlike those of previous cultures, represent people, both in appearance and in character. And they mirror the kind of activities that people got up to. War, intrigue, romance, and so on. So that some of their exploits could come straight out of a modern-day thriller.
Perhaps you could tell me a little about some of the characters.
Certainly. I think most people have heard of Venus. She's not one of my favorites. She's perhaps the most physically attractive of the gods.
She was goddess of beauty, wasn't she?
Goddess of love and beauty, yes. She appears on the surface to have a most charming personality. But in fact, she's rather a nasty character. She's forever tempting other gods with pretty girls, and seems to specialize in causing marital problems. And she has a rather jealous nature too. If she's ever rejected by a male, she's quite prepared to arrange an accident for him, usually fatal. Of course, everyone knows Zeus, the ruler of Olympus and the god of the weather. He can be rather a violent character. He's usually portrayed holding a flash of lightning, which he's always ready to use on anyone who annoys him. He's supremely self-confident. sees himself as all-powerful. But the interesting thing is that he's not. He's always being deceived by Venus, who makes him fall in love with one woman after another. Then he has to resort to all sorts of low tricks to hide the affairs from his wife.
Well, thank you very much, Roger.
That is the end of Part C.